Fund, and I'm sure we're going to be blessed by your presentation.
Okay, it works. And that works. Thank you, Bishop Rob, for the invitation to come to your synod today. And thanks for all who have been part of organizing an agenda to carve out some time for myself and PWRDF just to share for a few minutes an organization that I know is very dear to the Anglican Church of Canada. I have been executive director for almost a year and a half, and I've really enjoyed my time with the people, clergy, lay, our stakeholders. It's really a great organization, and I just want to say a few things that I hope affirms to you just how many good things are happening with PWRDF. So I'm really glad to be here, and I just love the themes of the synod as well, around mission and justice and reconciliation. It's great to be here at the same time as Melanie, who's off to a great start also with the Anglican Church. It really fits well with a PWRDF update. So just learning from Melanie and being here with you is really special. So thanks for that time. Just to kind of set it so that I don't take too much time, I know time is always tight. I'm just introducing seven words, seven kind of new words that are really kind of hot, that are really important in our organization right now in PWRDF. And just walk through those seven and then link those to some enduring words, seven enduring words for PWRDF that you probably all know of when you think of PWRDF. We're an organization of justice, of dignity, and I hope these few slides, these few updates, reminds you of those important themes. So we're the Primates World Relief and Development Fund, the Anglican Church of Canada. So seven words or terms or concepts that are new, that weren't really kicking around our office or with our staff 5 years ago. So one is this acronym, AMCC. You know, PWRDF is an acronym that many of us now know how to pronounce well. It slides off our tongues, but for many others, it's a really tough acronym. It's hard to explain. So when I'm asked to explain PWRDF, I often just take this other acronym, AMCC. It kind of goes quickly, but explain what it means. It means All Mothers and Children Count. And that's one of our largest programs. It has begun very recently. It wasn't there 5 years ago. AMCC is a program that's implemented with partners in Burundi, Rwanda, Tanzania, and Mozambique. It's a really important program because the government of Canada has invested a lot of resources in us because they know we do credible work and they know we have a history of results on the ground. So here's just one example of some results in a program in Tanzania with the Diocese of Masasi, so a partner in Tanzania that's doing some great work. So just as an example of achievements, of results in the All Mothers and Children Count program, number of women assisted by trained health practitioners during delivery. So that's an important objective for us because we want kids to be safe. We want moms to be safe. We want kids to be healthy and to grow to the adults that we all want them to be. So in 2012, when we were doing kind of an assessment as to how many women are being assisted by trained health practitioners, in Masasi Diocese, it was about 30%. In 2017, it's 90%. So it's really grown as a result of the benefits of this program. And you can see it even more. So you see the 30% to the 90% in the purple, but you also see that the number of pregnant women who delivered their newborns in health facilities has also grown from 40% to 94%. So we're looking at a very large program serving 60, 70, 80,000 people in the Diocese of Masasi, and it's just done some remarkable work to the point where the government of Canada is saying, we really want to support you, PWRDF, and this program in Tanzania and others in Burundi, Rwanda, Tanzania, Mozambique, many places. So here's a couple of kind of beautiful pictures, but behind each of these pictures also in this program, All Mothers and Children Count, what you see on the very top, the top left corner, so you see a kind of a surveyor talking with a mom and a child, and she has some technology, but what she's doing is just asking some questions that are all about monitoring the effectiveness of our work with the people of Masasi. So we're not writing those down by hand, we're actually inputting that data through kind of a little gizmo. It looks like a phone, but it's a way of ensuring we can capture results in a really effective, efficient way. We want to make sure that our results, that our programs are making a really important difference. So you have a child there that's kind of cynical or skeptical as to what's actually going on. But this also works. It's an innovative practice as part of All Mothers and Children Count. And the other photo here, again, a beautiful photo, but this is all part of a Pass the Gift program. So we have a goat that's been given to a mom. She gets the goat. The offspring of those goats are going to go to other poor people, other poor women who can benefit from a great capital asset in that context, such as a goat. So that's all part of All Mothers and Children Count. So AMCC is a new program for us. We're talking about it. It's a program that we can be really proud of as supporters of PWRDF. So 5 years ago, we weren't talking about Pikangikum. We could hardly pronounce the word Pikangikum. It's amazing, as I move about, Melanie, you would say the same thing. We can all pronounce Pikangikum. We actually know a bit about Pikangikum. We're supporting Pikangikum, and many other Canadians aren't aware. They're hardly able to pronounce Pikangikum. But this is also a really important project, and just being here a few minutes or this morning, I know Pikangikum has come up in the conversations as an important project in which we're practicing, we're showing, we're demonstrating reconciliation. Here's just a couple of photos. I was in Pikangikum late last year, and I'm in conversations on a regular basis with the chief and the council in Pikangikum and with our partner, Habitat for Humanity in Manitoba. So just making sure that there's clean water, that there's two big containers in this case in homes carrying water so that people don't have to go outside to get their drinking water or cleaning water. So we're installing these containers in more and more homes in Pikangikum, and we're also making sure that there's septic tanks under the homes as well. Again, just to make the homes more livable, make sure that the access to water and access to sanitation is helping more and more families in Pikangikum. And we're not just doing that, we're actually working with young men in Pikangikum just to ensure they pick up skills around carpentry, around plumbing, so that they have more skills by which to maintain the assets, the benefits of the project. So here we have a couple of young men who've been trained with the help of Habitat for Humanity. So we got some really skilled expertise on the ground, and they're there to continue to help, troubleshoot as need be. Here's a third term that we were not talking about 5 years ago. Actually, we weren't really talking about even a year ago, although the Rohingya people are a people group who've been in the country of Myanmar for hundreds of years. So the Rohingya people are a people who are facing just some really tough times right now. And it connects into PWRDF's work. There was a journal story just a little while ago as to how we're supporting Rohingya. A couple of things about the Rohingya people, just to highlight just the tragedy that is going on right now. About 580,000 Rohingya from Myanmar are seeking refuge in Bangladesh today after their villages were destroyed or cleansed or ethnically cleansed. So you may have been hearing some of this on the news. It's horrifying. But consider this. They're actually fleeing from Myanmar. They're fleeing to Bangladesh. So Bangladesh is a country the size of New Brunswick. It's a country that holds 140 million people. And we have 580,000 Rohingya that have left in the last 3 months to take refuge from their homes being burnt down, from torture, from being shot. There are 9,000 children in Bangladesh who've lost their parents. They don't know where their parents are. So we have one of the most horrifying emergencies happening in Bangladesh right now. You know, we've had support for 25,000 Syrians as Canada, right? That was an important number for us, 25,000 Syrians. And I'm sure many of yourselves in the Diocese of Qu'Appelle have been a part of that important story of sponsoring and resettling refugees here in the safe country of Canada. But consider Bangladesh, they're already very, very crowded, and consider the sheer numbers of Rohingya women, men, and children finding safety in Bangladesh. So the Rohingya are descendants of Muslims. They came to Myanmar generations ago. They didn't come just in the past 10 or 20 years. They've come many generations ago, 200 at least years ago. They have been in Myanmar. They speak a different language. They're of a different religion than the majority of Myanmar's citizens who are Buddhist, but the Myanmar government considers them stateless. So a number of things that we're doing that we can be supportive of, proud of, that we can be encouraged by. We're actually working in Bangladesh. We're working with the Christian Commission for the Development of Bangladesh, working in refugee camps, and then working with some really good partners, supported by World Renew, the Canadian Food Grains Bank, which is this coalition of 15 churches, church development agencies, including Development and Peace, part of the Catholic Church. Almost all the Christian churches of Canada are part of the Canadian Food Grains Bank, so together we're supporting emergency rations, lentils, rice, oil, sugar, salt, and biscuits. So we are acting as much as we can with the resources that we have. But our support, so here's a great thing about working in coordination or working in collaboration or partnership, is that it's helped to leverage even more support from the Government of Canada. So the Government of Canada has supported us with the All Mothers and Children Count program. It's also giving another $1 million to support members of the Food Grains Bank in Bangladesh to respond to the needs of the Rohingya people. We're also working in Myanmar itself with the Rohingya that are still there who haven't yet fled, hoping that they will not need to flee their own country, hoping that they can stay where they are. So we're working there with members of the ACT Alliance. So again, other church-related Christian agencies, and making sure there's some support for the Rohingya who are still in Myanmar. Just be encouraged by the words of Anglican Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who I've always admired, from South Africa. Let me just read that. We know that you know that. This is a letter he wrote to Aung San Suu Kyi about the plight of the Rohingya in Myanmar and now Bangladesh. So they are both Nobel Peace Prize winners. So Archbishop Tutu, we know that human beings may look and worship differently, and some may have greater firepower than others, but none are superior and none inferior, and that when you scratch the surface, we are all the same, members of one family, the human family, that there are no natural differences between Buddhists and Muslims, and that whether we are Jews or Hindus, Christians or atheists, we are born to love without prejudice. Discrimination doesn't come naturally, it is taught. So it also plays to what's really important for PWRDF and the mission of the Anglican Church in so many ways, to reach out with compassion to those who are really, really hurting. So just great words from Archbishop Tutu. So another word that we're talking about now that we weren't talking about a few years ago or even a few months ago is Harvey, as in Hurricane Harvey. And we know that this year there have been a lot of hurricanes, and there may be more and more hurricanes in years to come, what with warming waters in the Caribbean. So we are active monitoring, but also responding to, in this example, the impacts of Hurricane Harvey in Texas, and particularly in Houston. You know, we've never supported any relief work or emergency work in the United States before, but for the very first time, we've actually raised money, and we've received lots of very supportive phone calls. We've received money that we've passed on to our colleague agency in the United States, Episcopal Relief and Development, and they're working with the Diocese of Houston to provide food, gas, emergency shelter, and spiritual counseling to those who have been affected. And there have been so many more needs over the past 6 months in Cuba, Haiti, Dominica, Antigua, where we are in contact with Anglican churches asking for support, and we've been able to support each of those four country contacts with support and encourage others also to raise money and provide support. So that's kind of a good news in a really tough news situation over the past months with so many hurricanes. And we've also, in the past 6 months, been supporting other emergencies. In Mexico, there were earthquakes. In Bangladesh, there were floods. In Sierra Leone, there were mudslides. In Nepal, there were serious floods. So we are there as much as we can as PWRDF with the resources available to us. And I must say, we really appreciate the support, but also many prayers of support and many letters and phone calls of support for us that we're able to pass on to our partners, particularly in Cuba, where I know there's so much connection with the Anglican Church of Canada, to be able to pass those words of encouragement along with financial support to the people of Cuba. And let's not forget, we've supported Fort McMurray as PWRDF, again with support from dioceses across Canada a year ago. We've also been able to support British Columbia and the Territory of the People with support. We've raised about $25,000 in the past few months. We've been able to program that and work with Bishop Barbara Andrews and her team to ensure as good a use of that money as possible. So it's been really busy for us in PWRDF. We've been talking about hurricanes, we've been talking Hurricane Harvey, but also more and more needs in Canada and how we can do that better and better going on. Yay is another word. We weren't talking about Yay. This is a little town in South Sudan that we are supporting. So in Yay, we are working with the South Sudanese Development and Relief Agency. It's an agency of the Anglican Church or the Episcopal Church in South Sudan. And I mentioned that we're working with Yay kind of for the first time. We're working with the people of Yay for the first time, but it's kind of interesting to share that. We are actually not just sharing food or distributing food, we're actually distributing cash to households in need. And that's a bit of a win-win. It's an innovative way forward. So as opposed to the logistics of bringing in food and water and oil and lentils, we're able to provide cash to those who are most in need so that they can go to the market and buy what they need. So it's a win for everyone. It's a win in terms of efficiency for us. It's a win for the markets in areas such as Yay, and it's a win for the people themselves who are hurting, and they can make choice. They can have agency to choose what they really want to purchase with the cash that we're able to provide for them. South Sudan is also an example, a country context of so much need, of so much hurt. And also to mention, our funds, which maybe $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, sometimes $50,000, do make a difference, but they are often pooled with the funds of other agencies. It could be other Anglican agencies, as in the case in Yay. It could be other Canadian churches or even other Canadian organizations. So we really look for those opportunities for efficiencies by working together in collaboration, in coordination, in partnership. Another word we weren't mentioning so much is the word Bor, which is actually another town in South Sudan. So I heard South Sudan referenced. I know Anne-Marie has shared information on South Sudan with yourselves. I mentioned Bor for another few reasons, and it kind of connects with some good words that I heard this morning from yourselves too. We're supporting the people of Bor with the help of the South Sudanese diaspora community in Winnipeg. So there's an interesting story behind all that, how women have found their way from South Sudan through Ethiopia, walking really to Ethiopia, thousands of kilometers, and they are in Winnipeg today and have set up a small kind of committee or organization and working with others in Winnipeg, including Emmanuel Mission, St. Matthew's Church, to raise money to support healing, to support kind of practical skills for women and men. And in a few weeks, they're actually holding a workshop in Bor around healing and reconstruction. It's really an example of reconciliation that's being encouraged in order to bring sides that may be fighting, that may be in disagreement, that may be in conflict, to make sure there's opportunities for dialogue and peacemaking, peacekeeping at a very local level. So that's happening in Bor, interestingly, with the diaspora community of Winnipeg to support as well. And as you see, also partnering with Mennonites, with Quakers, other Anglican members from other countries, as well as peace teams on the ground. One of our last words, this may be the seventh word, is neonatology. And I just kind of learned this word about a week ago. I should have known this word, but in a number of our partner groups in Burundi and Rwanda, we are working with neonatologists. So a neonatologist is doing that important care and support for children in their first 28 days and making sure moms and dads are equipped with the best knowledge in terms of caring for those newborns. It may be skin-to-skin contact. It may be ensuring that colostrum that is available to the kids is actually provided to the kids. It's not expelled, to make sure that there's support for breastfeeding, that it starts off as well as possible. So the very fact that we work with these not just skilled partners, but skilled individuals, professionals, neonatologists. And we just had one with us for the past 10 days sharing, is pretty interesting. And it's also encouraging for us to know that we're working with some really professional people, in this case in Burundi and Rwanda, who are doing some really important care for women and kids and families as well. This is just one example of one child who was born under 1 kilogram, the baby shining. So I think that's about maybe not even 2 pounds in terms of their birth weight. So the top left corner, the baby given the name Shining. And you see through the help of the hospital, the neonatologists who are there, other supports, baby Shining is today 8 months old. And there she is with her parents. So being able to provide that support over and over and over again is really encouraging for us. And I want to pass that encouragement on to yourselves. And I talk about stories like this as much as I can. So these are seven kind of words that are kind of bouncing around our office. They're all important for us. But they do connect with what's really important for PWRDF. So we're almost 60 years old as an organization. We're 59. We've just passed our 59th year. So we're heading into number 60. But these words have been enduring for us for all these years. So I'm relatively new coming in to PWRDF, but having talked to so many people, having talked to so many Anglicans across Canada, words like partnership, community, collaboration, results, empowering are really important, enduring words that really set us apart as an organization that is special. I've worked with lots of other organizations doing good development work, but part of my pleasure, part of my happiness in being part of PWRDF is that it does some really important work in partnership. It does some really important work in empowering local partners to do really good work and just give very specific value-add technical support and not set up offices in Rwanda or Tanzania or Mozambique. We work with our partners and strengthen their offices so that they can be more capable and deliver good programs. The very last word to mention, and I may have mentioned this at the beginning, is the importance of dignity. And I mentioned this in a number of contexts. It's dignity when we see clean water available to community members here in Tanzania, where they had to earlier scoop out water from riverbeds or shallow wells. It's dignity when a woman, such as this young woman in Mozambique, is able to get a cow. So not just a goat, but she's able to get a cow knowing that she has the skills to care for livestock, and she will again pass the gift of calves to others who are in need. You know, it's dignity when we see moms coming in for counseling and support and just being able to ensure that those services are there for those who need. That's what's going to help get those kind of bars from 30% to 90% or 40% to 95%. And it's dignity when we can be sure that there's going to be services provided. There's going to be action. It's not just stuff on paper. And it's dignity for us to see that in a place like Pikangikum, we're doing some good work with Habitat for Humanity. We get great support from Anglicans and even not just Anglicans in Canada, for more and more people, Mennonites or our private sector companies that are supporting us. But we also have trainees that have been supported who can, again, share their skills for years to come, whether it be in Pikangikum or whether it be in other communities. Just a last few things. You know, we do evaluations. It's important that we evaluate our work. It's one thing for me to say, oh, we do great work. It's really good, and we're seeing a lot of change. We actually want to see evaluations or impact studies being done that will show what we've done well and what we could do better. So we've just finished an impact study of our support for HIV and AIDS programming in South Africa over the past 10 years. So a lot of investment, a lot of commitment. So here are just seven kind of statements that came out of this evaluation, which I think are encouraging because 10, 12, 15 years ago, there was so much stigma, so much discrimination around HIV and AIDS. And these are studies coming from South Africa where the government, where political leadership was saying, you know, HIV is kind of mythical. If you just ate your vegetables, you won't get HIV. You had the president of South Africa at the time saying such things. So our programs started in that context. And our program started with funding coming from Anglicans across Canada, and it attracted government money. So that's really important, that the very fact that we were operating with our own private money and then attracting government money because of the credibility of our work, there's something to be said, it's something to be encouraged. So just a few, there's seven of these statements. Home visits resulted in more awareness of people's needs and understanding of the needs of all family members, young, older men and women. So home visits, what we encouraged over the past 10 years in our programs made a difference. They increased awareness of needs. They increased the awareness also of men to do more. Men are more aware in the past 10 years of programming in South Africa of gender issues, of parenthood roles, and taking on tasks that were traditionally women's responsibilities, such as taking kids to school or taking kids to the hospital. And we've seen some very tangible evidence of men becoming much more involved. And that's a win-win. There's more balanced gender representation in the training. It used to be male-oriented in terms of who was giving the training, and it used to be very female-oriented in terms of who was receiving the training. So we're getting much more gender balance in our programs in South Africa. Other funders and supports have come, in addition to what has been provided by Anglicans from across Canada. You know, and that is really encouraging for me, because I know how important that is in the work that we do, that projects don't just depend on support from one source, that there's others who come on side to support, like local businesses and the government, that prior was very cautious about HIV and AIDS. Youth participation has grown immensely in the work around HIV and AIDS, so young people are coming to be tested, to get information, to get awareness. We see more and more youth who are taking positions of leadership, an unintended impact. We didn't plan for that, but we see young people who are taking positions of leadership. And when we talk about dignity, 10, 12 years ago, those who are working in the field of HIV and AIDS were saying, we really want to just help people who have HIV to live the rest of their lives with dignity, in a sense, to die with dignity. That was openly said. HIV is a fatal disease. And today, with medicine, with a lot of services, and PWRDF has been a part of providing those, we've really moved from kind of a dying with dignity approach to a living with dignity approach. So it's something that we can be encouraged by, and just to share that encouragement with yourselves in terms of the work of the Anglican Church of Canada. So those are some statements, and here are some voices. So don't just take it from the statements of the evaluators. Here are some voices of participants who were interviewed for this particular evaluation. So one person, ever since I accepted my status taking treatment, I am well. I get sick like everyone, like having a headache and flu. I'm in good health, good weight, because I'm taking my treatment well. So dignity, dignity. I would say I'm healthy, in good health. I'm taking my treatment in a good way. I am not sick. Good health, sometimes I am not well, but most of the time I am well. So those are powerful statements that we wouldn't have heard 10, 12 years ago. There's an access to antiretrovirals that is there now. They're more affordable and accessible for women and men, for young people, than they were 10 years ago. I'm in good health because I'm on treatment. I don't feel any pain. I'm in good health. I've never been sick in the 7 years that I've been diagnosed with HIV. And very last, number 7, ever since I tested, I am healthy. I am taking my treatment. I play soccer. I am fresh. So what a great statement. This is a young man that said that. So those are encouraging voices that show, that demonstrate the change that's taking place. And again, this is evaluation that isn't, you know, PWRDF doing it. This is coming from outside sources. So it's stuff that we can be encouraged by. So many thank yous to share with all of you. Here's 7 sets of thank yous and 7 sets of languages where we do have programming, and there are many other places around the world where we have programs, but we can't say thank you enough to our partners, to constituents here in Canada, to those who give us good advice as to how to run better programs. So thank you for some time here this afternoon in Regina. Beautiful city of Regina, and it's great to be part of the Synod, and thank you so much for support. If I can give a shameless plug, and that is on our table, there is this little catalog, and this is a new thing that we're doing. So I mentioned a bunch of new words. This is a new piece of work that we're doing. This is a gift guide. It's called The World of Gifts, and the PWRDF is the agency on behalf of the Anglican Church that is responsible, that's printing it, that's laying it out and sending it out here to Capelle as well. There are copies on the table. So it's the very first time that we are doing it as opposed to General Synod or another agency. So there are many giving opportunities for PWRDF, and many of them come with a very clear match opportunity too, because the government of Canada is supporting us for every dollar that is given for particular gifts, the government of Canada gives another $6. So that's a great opportunity in which we can continue to support really good projects overseas. All Mothers and Children Count, but many others as well. So really good gift opportunities, and there's also some gift opportunities for Indigenous ministries and global relations as well that we're also highlighting in the same catalog. So it's in the Anglican Journal, and there's copies also on the table where all the other tables are. So I can turn it to questions, or maybe I should just do a quick thank you also to one other person here. Maybe I'll just do that. I'm not quite sure how best to proceed, but you know, in your diocese, you have a diocesan rep. You have a diocesan representative. And, you know, coming here, I don't know if this was known ahead of time, but Anne-Marie McNeil has been the diocesan rep for Qu'Appelle for the past 3 years. I've met many diocesan representatives. So these are volunteer positions across all of our dioceses. And Anne-Marie just has done some stellar work. I'm going to just pull out my notes, because I talked with some of my staff just to say, you know, Anne-Marie is out there just doing some really important stuff. So give me some thoughts or suggestions as to all that she has done. So here are 7 things, Anne-Marie, that you have done as part of your 3 years as a diocesan representative. You've raised awareness about PWRDF and the issues that are really important around refugees, for example, around countries such as Burundi and South Sudan. You've actually done the communication piece. That's not that easy to do with parishes when emails are going back and forth. It's really hard to keep that communication going. And I was just understanding, talking with you this morning, how much you've done in terms of preaching, in addition to your regular preaching responsibilities, and not just preaching, but making those really important connections of social justice with the gospel. And just being able to do that, you got to maybe share some of your messages, Anne-Marie. And you've been promoting PWRDF, so that's even in addition. And there's that fundraising part of it as well, because I know that's important for volunteers, and I know, Anne-Marie, that's been something you've also encouraged. Anne-Marie has reported to us on a regular basis. And you know, when you're a volunteer, you are not being paid for that kind of work. But just being able to report on a regular basis all the different work that's being done, that takes a fair amount of time. You've kept us informed in our office in Toronto, and you've been part of the story of PWRDF for the past 3 years. I'm sure before, and I'm sure going forward, you'll still be a part of the story of PWRDF, helping us learn, helping us engage, giving us advice, raising the banner, being an ambassador. So I'm really thankful, Anne-Marie. I'm going to ask you to come up for a second. I see Bishop Rob is right here as well. So I have a little letter to thank Anne-Marie. I won't read it all because I know time is tight, but this is for Anne-Marie, as well as this gift, and our sincere thanks, gratitude, Anne-Marie, for your work here. And we got some great pictures. I'm going to share those back, so just wait. They're going to be on Facebook and Twitter and all those good things. And just setting up the placemats today. Setting up the placemats and the display board and all the materials, I know that takes a lot of work. So we're really, really supportive, appreciative. Thank you, Anne-Marie. And you can read that at your leisure. It's also a really nice letter for you. So, but I know Anne-Marie is also just another small shameless plug. If there are others in your churches and you're not sure who the parish rep is, do talk to Anne-Marie or to Wilma, and we'll talk about Wilma in just a second, because you know we run best when we have a constituent that is really supportive of us. And it allows me, when I talk in Ottawa with the government, just to say the many, many, many connections across Canada that are supporting programs. So Anne-Marie has been our diocesan rep, but if there are parishes that still need a rep, do talk to Anne-Marie, do talk to Wilma. I was in a church last week in London, Ontario, with a colleague from Rwanda. He spoke, I spoke a little bit. 3 people came up afterwards, and they all volunteered to be the parish rep. So it was amazing. So that's always an important thing. Anne-Marie, thank you. And you can stay here, because I'm just going to, I'll pass it to
Could I ask Wilma to come out, please? Like she's got an important role. So Wilma Ward from St. Philip's here in Regina is going to receive the baton, going to be our diocesan representative. So if you want to know anything about PWRDF in the future, Wilma will be able to come and share with you. And I know that Anne-Marie is going to be very supportive to Wilma's ministry. And I know she would like to go on some travels across the country with you as well, and certainly across our diocese. And so let's give these two a wonderful round of applause. Shall we? Okay. So let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the work of PWRDF, for the countless lives that have been reached with the gospel and also reached in compassion. We thank you for the 59 years and counting of this ministry across the world. Pray your blessing upon Will and upon his team at the National Office. Pray also for Wilma now, that you would endow her, Lord, with every blessing, that you would equip her and enable her for this great ministry. May she always know your presence and your great love in her ministry to us. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you. Thank you, and thank you, Will.
Thank you,
we'll
Bishop
speak
Rob.
More tomorrow.
Okay.
Bless you.